time for a new episode of the Todd Wright Toddcast. Thank you so much for listening, and thank you for subscribing as we are pushing our way towards 300 lifetime episodes of this podcast. I thank Brandon Legal Group for their sponsorship of my podcast. They are a full-service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. Family law, child support, adjustment, divorce, or stop paying permanent alimony, guys. As of July 1st, 2023, permanent alimony no longer exists in the state of Florida. To find out more and get a free consult, visit BrandonLegalGroup.com or call 813-902-3576, BrandonLegalGroup.com. Thanks also to Anthony Peroni and Pin Chasers for their support of my podcast. Pin Chasers, three locations in the greater Tampa Bay area, Tampa Bay's best place to enjoy bowling, food, and fun. To make it even easier to have fun, download the Pin Chasers Extra app to make reservations, order food, track your scores, and earn cash back on every purchase. 10% back every time you visit. For more info, go to pinchasers.net and start having fun. Email is write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com. Recording this on Wednesday afternoon, November 1st, Halloween in the rearview mirror, perhaps will be remembered for the first firing of 2023, the latest failure of the Mark Davis era about a decade plus in. Hasn't been good for Mark Davis running the Raiders for dear old dad. Just win, baby, is not happening, even with the move and the money that comes with the relocation to Las Vegas, as McDaniels and the GM dumped very late Halloween night. I guess 1 a.m. I saw it hit the news cycle Eastern time. I was asleep. Woke up, as I often do, around 4:35 in the morning. I just checked my phone and saw, wow, we have our first coach firing. So let's get right to that, because the odds going into the season had Las Vegas being the first NFL team to fire their head coach at 10-1. Sixth shot on the board. We did a whole podcast on this. I admit I enjoy talking about this. I'd said no, that McDaniels was going to get at least the full second season. Some reports now via ProFootballTalk.com and I'm sure elsewhere that he was promised 3 years. Is that the Patriot way? Funny how in college, if you fire a coach after 2 years, it kind of makes your program untouchable for a really good coach because of factors with not having enough time, even though we're in an era of NIL and the portal and not, say, a full recruiting class. I'm going to start thinking about that more with National Football League head coaches to see which teams are doing it. And is there any crossover to teams being successful doing it, where they blow someone out within 2 years and it doesn't really set them back? Maybe that's another podcast. But reviewing the odds, when did we do this podcast? Probably before the preseason began, right around the start of maybe training camp. We're not setting these odds, but we saw Dallas as the favorite, and I walked you through why I understood that was the case. And I said, sure, I could see with a failure against Aaron Rodgers and the Jets in a high-profile game, in week two after a failure against the Giants in the Sunday night opener, and then you tank against Arizona. Well, I had one of the three games right. Didn't see the Aaron Rodgers injury coming. Didn't see the blowout against the Giants coming. I had the loss at Arizona. But one out of three isn't getting McCarthy fired. So it wasn't McCarthy. Told you it wouldn't be Bulls. The Glazers don't fire coaches during the season. Tampa Bay was 6-1. 7-1 was Rivera in Washington. I guess according to some, he was actually the odds-on favorite until Davis fired McDaniels Halloween night. I still don't understand that. I get why people want to talk about it, but they don't know Rivera. And they don't appreciate how good of a coach Rivera is. New Orleans was fourth at 8-1. Cleveland was fifth at 9-1. I bought that. I still buy into that. We're going to get to that. Then Vegas was the sixth shot at 10-1. So those tickets cash. I didn't have that. I'm sure we'll find out more as the days and weeks and months and years go on about what else was going on to strain the relationship between McDaniels and Davis and other things that forced Davis's hand. Because it's not like Davis can get the jump. He can't legally interview any employed NFL coach at any level until January 22nd. So he's got a lot of time on his hands to figure out what he wants to do. And I'm sure he's going to go snooping around the college ranks where that rule doesn't exist. And college coaches are going to start jumping in a little over a month. They do it when the regular season ends, right around the time we get to the conference title games, because so many coaches don't stay with their teams for bowl games, they jump. That's when some of the buyouts change. I know that's when Chip Kelly's buyout changes. Somewhere in early December, it changes. It goes from a $3 million buyout to a $1.5 million buyout. $3 million, I think, if he leaves this year, $1.5 if he leaves next year. And, I mean, Chip's not that highly paid at UCLA. It's just random thought for me. So six shot, 10-1, going back to the preseason board of first coach fired. I did not have Josh McDaniels, and I'm not cashing that ticket. So who's left? Honestly, there will be a handful more. Just scrolling through the standings. AFC East, I know Florio has talked about this, and the announcement of a Belichick extension, I don't think diffuses a hell of a lot. The Patriots look like a 4-6 win team at best. Belichick's old. You're going to be 4 years past the Tom Brady era with no playoff wins. No momentum seemingly going forward that you can rekindle what you had when Tom Brady was there. So I like the idea that we're going to get a mutual parting of the ways somewhere at the end of the season, after the end of the season, Kraft and Belichick separate. Not sure if Belichick would want to do something else with another team, or at this point, it's like, that's it. Because remember, he coached the Browns, so it would be his third NFL team as a head coach. I guess you don't count the Jets and what happened there. AFC West, Staley could still go, right? I'm going to talk about some scenarios here in a moment. There was talk if Staley lost at home to the Bears in that Sunday night game, he could have been the first to go. Stefanski could be sacrificed. I mean, the Browns are 4-3, but look at that division. I mean, the Ravens look better. The Steelers are going to be minimum 9-8. The Bengals are coming. I think it's just going to be tough for the Browns to hang in there, as good as their defense is. The fact that the Browns had interest in trading for Jacoby Brissett suggests that for whatever reason, they don't feel Deshaun Watson is going to be healthy enough to play the rest of this year. That this could be an injury, or there's something else with Watson that may prevent him from just being the set it and forget it quarterback you need to be a playoff Super Bowl contender. AFC South, I still think Vrabel could go. I don't know if he will. I mean, the Titans look like they're going to hit the reset button. Do they hit it with Vrabel involved or with somebody else? I guess more likely if you hit the reset button with the Chargers, it will be with a different head coach. NFC East, I'll talk about McCarthy in a moment. I can see the Rivera thing. I acknowledge it. I wouldn't agree with it, but I see it. I know new ownership. They didn't hire him. Dable's going nowhere. He'll definitely get that third year, although the Giants do need to. He needs to learn from some of his mistakes. I was talking to someone about this yesterday. Dable needs to be careful he doesn't go the Shiano route and just alienate a lot of people in a short amount of time, make a lot of mistakes, and then suddenly you're persona non grata. Just be careful. I like Dable, but he seems to be very black and white, very matter of fact, leaving Daniel Jones out there for a number of games this year just to get frickin' killed. Just got to be careful. The Bills clearly miss him. Dable clearly is a good offensive mind. He's just got to be careful with how he handles a bad situation in New York. Cardinals could blow out the former Eagle defensive coordinator after 1 year. They're here at midseason. They just traded their starting quarterback. Granted, the starting quarterback had been there for, wasn't even there for training camp. Supposedly get Kyler Murray back. How are they going to handle that? Then maybe get James Conner back. It's just a lot of I don't knows with the Cardinals. But they have the high picks for next year, their own, and of course the Texans. Eberflus, yeah, he could go at the end of the year. LaFleur better be careful. The GM of the Browns talks once a year because he has to. And that was earlier today as we do this podcast on November 1st. And I guess even he said the next 10 weeks are very important. And I read a story on Pro Football Talk about how it was important for Jordan Love. I think it's important for LaFleur too. I think they are kind of linked. I expected more, didn't you? I'm sure Packers fans did. It doesn't look very good. I know that Aaron Jones not being healthy for a bulk of the first half, that doesn't help, but doesn't look good. NFC South, I can make a case all of these coaches should be replaced before next year. All of them. I know Reich just got there. One of them's going to win the division. But I can make a case all four of them could go. It's like a friend said to me when I texted him during the Falcons-Bucks game a couple of weeks ago, and I said, this is a game that defines the term. It's a battle of who wants it less. And he texted me back and said, clearly, two teams who lack starting quarterbacks worthy starting quarterbacks and worthy head coaches. And I said, you know, you could kind of say that about the whole division. Because you could say about the Panthers, you could say about the Saints. So here's the last point I want to make in this podcast about more coaching firings that will happen either as the season goes on or once we get to the end of the season. Now that the ticket has been cashed for first head coach fired in the NFL, late Halloween night, Josh McDaniels let go, cashes the 10-1 ticket. I think it's really interesting how many coaches could be fired who make the playoffs this year. I think the number could be as high as 5. You're saying, wait a minute, you know, making the playoffs, that's what you play for. Hear me out. Let's go in reverse order. We were just talking about the NFC South. At this point, we're 8 weeks into the season. The NFC South does not have a team with a winning record. Conversely, every team in the AFC North has a winning record, just as one example. The NFC South, still, no one has a signature win. The Falcons have 4 wins, the Saints have 4 wins, the Bucs have 3 wins, the Panthers have 1 win. Of those 12 wins by NFC South teams, none are against the Lions, the 49ers, the Seahawks, the Cowboys, the Eagles, the Dolphins, the Bills. The Jets have a winning record. None are against the Jets. The Chiefs, the Ravens, the Steelers, the Browns, the Bengals, the Jaguars. There's not a signature win there. We said in a podcast, a week or so ago, we said the best win was the Falcon win against the Texans, and the Texans just went out and lost to the Panthers for the Panthers' first win of the season, and the Texans were off a bye. I think they were off a bye. The Bucs did beat the Vikings in week one. That might trump that now, as the Vikings are in transition, but they sit at 4-4. But still, is that a signature win? So someone makes the playoffs from the NFC South. They're the 4 seed. In come the Cowboys or the Seahawks or the Niners as the 5. And I think it could go a lot the way it did last year when 5 came to 4 and the Cowboys sent Tom Brady into retirement in a blowout. So there's one playoff team, and they could fire their coach and say, you know what? Yeah, that's not good enough. We're not good enough. So there's one. Dallas. Dallas looks like they're heading to the playoffs. If they do again what they did last year, let's say they're the 5. They may be the 6. They may be the 2nd wild card. And winning one playoff game may not be enough. If they lose to the 49ers again in the playoffs, if they lose to the Eagles in the playoffs, if they say Detroit, like Detroit did 30 years ago, blows out Dallas in a playoff game in Detroit, yeah, Mike McCarthy could be in trouble. Because there have been noticeable differences in how this offense runs under McCarthy as opposed to Moore. And it ain't all bad and it ain't all good. Now, I think there's a scenario here where the Cowboys move on from Prescott and get McCarthy a different quarterback. But I think it's kind of easier for Jerry to just promote Dan Quinn, hire a new offensive coordinator and play caller, then get yourself a new franchise quarterback. Unless you've got a plan to get Caleb Williams. Or you're going to tell me Trey Lance is finally going to be good, which is, we have nothing to go on there. So Dallas could be a playoff team that fires their head coach if they do not reach the conference championship round, a place they haven't been since 95. Mention Cleveland. Cleveland's hanging in there. They are in playoff contention. It's going to be tough for them to win that division with as competitive as it is. The Bengals are coming. The Ravens are saying, yep, everything's going through Baltimore here. And the Steelers are going to finish no worse than 9-8. That's what Tomlin does. So can the Browns sneak into the playoffs? They might. The health of Deshaun Watson might have something to do with that. If I had a defensive player of the year vote, and I don't, and there are some awesome guys out there this year doing amazing things. And remember, I'm a Cowboys fan. I'm probably voting for Myles Garrett. He's that good. How much more does he have? Can he get Cleveland into the playoffs? And without Nick Chubb, and if Cleveland makes the playoffs and they lose in the first round, and the Haslam family's like, you know what, Coach Stefanski, you didn't get it done. We're going to bring in someone else to get more out of this team, to get more out of Deshaun Watson. We're not convinced Watson likes what you're doing. So you got to go. So Stefanski would be sacrificed. There's the potential a third playoff team fires a head coach if they lose in the first round. Chargers lost in the first round last year, blowing a, what, 4-touchdown lead to the Jacksonville Jaguars. And yet Staley was allowed to come back. For those that say Mark Davis is too quick to pull triggers on coaches, the Chargers wait way too long. So Staley is still in the crossfire, especially with a franchise quarterback and so much talent on defense, and the problems are all defensive for the Chargers. If they make the playoffs again and lose in the first round, yeah, we can easily make that case. I don't see the Chargers as a playoff team, but I'm saying they could be. I mean, Dolphins, right? Dolphins, Chiefs, Jaguars are going to the playoffs. Probably two from the north, if not three. So we need a seventh team. Getting to the Bills here in a moment. Maybe the Jets, maybe the Chargers. I don't think the Chargers make the playoffs, but they did last year. They failed. Could they sneak in as the seven this year and lose in the first round again, and then Staley goes? And then my last case is McDermott with Buffalo. Because the Bills keep trending in the wrong direction. And we're talking about a 5-3 team with a franchise quarterback in Josh Allen. But what's going on? They don't seem as good since Dable left to become a head coach. McDermott is a head coach with a defensive background. We talk about this often here. The head coaches who are Super Bowl contenders in the current NFL are head coaches with an offensive background, because they can have more of an impact on the game plan, game management, all of those things. So if Buffalo, remember Buffalo last year in the playoffs, second round, Cincinnati comes in on a freaking cold day in Buffalo, and the Bills were never in the game. Something like that happens again, first or second round, yeah. Can we all agree that could be it for McDermott? Where management is just like, what are we doing here? Let's find someone who can help us get to where we need to be, who has the offensive mind to get more out of Josh Allen, less turnovers, perhaps take the burden off Josh Allen that he feels so much to do amazing things and actually give this offense a rhythm, an identity, because they don't have one. So, yeah, I can make the case as many as five teams that make the playoffs could fire their coach after making the playoffs this season. Something the Raiders obviously weren't going to do. What do you think? Wright.Todd at yahoo.com, Wright.Todd at yahoo.com. Remember my other podcast, the Todd Wright Survivor Football Podcast, has been very popular and very fun this year. And the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast in its eighth season for those of you who play fantasy football and like hearing fantasy talk. They are available separately on various platforms, all distributed via joebucksfan.com if you're looking for a common denominator. Wright.Todd at yahoo.com. Thanks to Pink Chasers and Brandon Legal Group for their continued sponsorship of the Todd Wright Toddcast. As we approach 300 lifetime episodes of this podcast, I thank you very much for listening.